There's a story that goes along with this Matthew passage. There are two Caesareas mentioned in Scripture. One is Caesarea Philippi, and one is Caesarea Maritima. Caesarea Maritima is a port city. Caesarea Philippi is more inland. This took place, exchange between Peter and Jesus, at Caesarea Philippi. Right outside of where they were talking, there was a cliff, big cliff. And right there, in the middle of the cliff, is a cave. And on either side of the cave are two niches carved in the rocks. And inside of each one of those were statues of the Greek god Pan. That cave was known as the Gates of Hades, which is really what the word should be, not hell. And when Jesus was talking to Peter, it is said he pointed at that and said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail." I mean, that was where, you know, right there. Strong, strong imagery. But that's just a little trivia for you, because we're not going to talk about that. That's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Instead, I want to talk a little bit about a psalm this morning. You all know what psalms are. Just read one together. Psalms is, the book of Psalms is a collection. And the psalms come in different forms. There are psalms of praise and ascension and lament and a number of different categories, written by a number of different people. They weren't all written by David, even though some people think they were. They weren't. This particular psalm was more than likely written by David, the one we read this morning. And in the very first verse of this psalm, and by the way, I'm going to do something that I really despise in most preachers. You ever turned on the TV to see one of these TV evangelist types, and they'll grab one verse out of the Bible and then preach for half an hour on it? Well, you can't do that. You know, it's got to be in context. You have to know where it comes from and what it means. Well, I'm going to do that. Well, I'm going to be even worse, because I'm going to preach on half of a verse. His steadfast love endures forever. God's goodness, which is another way of saying that, endures forever. Little boy was getting to the age where he didn't want his mommy walking him to school anymore. He was tired of being the little boy. So his mommy consented to let him walk to school alone. But unbeknownst to the little boy, she went next door to her good friend and neighbor, whose name was Shirley. Shirley Goodness was her name. And she had a little daughter named Marcy. And she said, "Follow my son to school at a safe distance so to make sure he got there?" And she said, "Well, yeah, we go for a walk every morning anyway. We can do that." And so for the next few days, her son would leave for school, and Shirley and her daughter would leave and follow from a distance. This little boy, he wasn't all that stupid. He knew they were following. And one day, he gets home from school, and Mom asked him how it was. And he said, "Well, school was okay, but you know, it seems like Shirley Goodness and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life." That's kind of psalmic, too. But David, in the very first verse of this psalm, tells us two things. That God is good by saying steadfast love. Steadfast goodness. Goodness that is there. It's innate. It's there. And second, that it lasts forever. For an eternity. And these are two concepts. The goodness of God is going to be there forever. We take it for granted. I mean, don't we? We at least those of us, are we all old Christians here? I don't mean old people who are Christians. I mean people who've been Christians a long time. Right? None of us are baby Christians, are we? Anybody here a baby Christian? Okay. We take it for granted. We've heard it forever. Baby Christians don't have that. They don't take that for granted. They don't quite have the same feeling that God's goodness and love is there forever. But the goodness of God is something we just kind of assume. God is the source of all goodness. After all, if you look at the very beginning of the Bible, God made something and he said what? Saw it was good. Wasn't mediocre, wasn't bad, wasn't rotten. It was good. So from the very beginning, everything that we know about God revolves around the concept of good. Now, where it says steadfast love or solid goodness, rock-like goodness, goodness that's never to be doubted. The word in Hebrew, last week you had a Greek lesson, today you get a Hebrew lesson, is the word, and the word is chesed. Gotta get it right. It's chesed. You gotta get the in there. Chesed. And if you remember the old King Jimmy Bible, everybody remember the King Jimmy Bible? And I call it that for fun, even though I have a lot of respect for the King James Version. It's translated as loving kindness. Remember that expression? Loving kindness? It's a very difficult word to translate. There's really no good English word or expression that translates what chesed means. So they came up with this enduring love, enduring goodness, so we make do. So back to the fact that creation was good because God made it, but who messed it up? I'm holding my hand up in proxy for you guys because you did it. I did too, and so did all of our forebears. The goodness of God's creation became flawed. Not the underlying part of it, the thought of it, and it was and is still good, but it ain't like it used to be. Like the old gray mare, she ain't like she used to be. The old gray earth, she ain't like she used to be. It seems like God's goodness has been disappearing a little bit at a time. Ever since that goof in the garden. I like that better than fall. Sounds a little better, don't you know? The goof in the garden. The evil that was loosed by Satan in Eden after he seduced Eve and then she swayed Adam. He grew so great and so quick that in not too long history, God was going to destroy all the goodness he had made. And there's Noah. Noah was still okay. There was still some goodness there, and God relented on destroying everything that he had made and saved Noah and his family. And because of God's enduring love, guess what? We're here. And God made a promise to Noah after the flood went bye-bye. He said, I'll never again curse the ground because of humankind, nor again destroy the creatures I have done, as long as the earth endures. Is there? We're talking forever. You got a definition of forever? You might be looking at your watch saying, how long is this sermon going to be? Seems like forever. God's kept his promise. Earth has not been destroyed, although we seem kind of bent on doing it. You ask a prayer for our country. Forget the country. Look at the world. I mean, we're trying in this country to fix the things, but the world? We're hell-bent to mess it up big time, aren't we? And it's not just us. There's so much evil in this world. There's so much hurt and pain and suffering and people arguing over the dumbest stuff. Look at politics. And this is not going to be a political sermon. But regardless, okay, Dean is an ardent conservative. I'm a rabid liberal. I'm not, but for sake of argument, I'm a rabid liberal. 50 years ago, he and I could sit down over a cup of coffee or a couple of beers and have a discussion about our differences. At the end, shake hands, walk away, and still be friends. Can't do that today. Why all of a sudden is something wrong with me? And we have character assassination and everything else. Because the evil that is loose in the world has gotten so bad that it's not the positions anymore that are there. It is the person that is all of a sudden not good. It's evil. But, and that's a but with all caps, exclamation points, when it looks dark, the dark, you know, the darker it gets, the smaller the light needs to be to light it up. Ever been in a cave? A deep, dark cave where there is no light? None, zilch? And somebody strikes a match? Or, you know, flicks a bick? It's almost blinding. God's love is still there. It is still enduring. God's enduring love is still there. Now, if you look around the world, around our country, not with rose-colored glasses, but with honesty, you can still see God's goodness at work in other people, in the world itself. Maybe not big miracles like with Noah, but things that happen, things that people do for God. Working for God. Things that you do, maybe. And you might say, well, that's not much. God's love is here. And that's the part that segues into the endures forever. And that's a hard concept for our minds to wrap around, forever. After all, nothing lasts forever, does it? I have a really bad habit. When I build something, I do a lot, I'm a carpenter. When I fix something, which I do a lot because I break things, I fix things and I make things so they don't ever have to be touched again. But guess what? When they have to be touched again, it's an awful pain for me to do something to them because I make them so they don't ever have to be done, so they last forever, but they don't. I recently came across a new fad, and I couldn't believe it at first, but it is a real thing. Maybe you've heard about this. Did you know that when somebody dies, you can take and get them cremated, scoop up their ashes, send them to a couple different labs, and they turn those ashes into diamonds? You heard about this? They take and mush them up, and they make them into diamonds, and they make them into rings and pendants and necklaces. I'm sorry, that's down around the bend a little bit too far for me. Because that way you can have your loved one with you forever. Sorry, no. No, this enduring forever doesn't work, except with God's love, God's goodness. That's the one thing that will never, ever go out of style. C.S. Lewis, you know who he is? Or was? He's dead, and he's not made into a diamond, but he will last a long time anyway. C.S. Lewis struggled with the idea of God being good forever. His goodness being good forever, because he had seen his share of badness. And he addresses this. And he answers the question of how can God be good forever when he says, God is not merely good, but God is goodness. God is good. All the time? Hey, y'all have been well trained. That is, it's become a cliche almost, but that's a good cliche to know. And when anybody ever says God is good and all the time, it's a good reminder. But God is not merely good, but goodness. And goodness is not merely divine, but God. And if God is forever, so is goodness. This is really brought out and epitomized when, in the Chronicles of Narnia, that's the wonderful book that C.S. Lewis wrote, there's an apparent contradiction in Aslan. Are you all familiar with Chronicles of Narnia? You know, and Aslan is this big lion that is the stand-in for Jesus, and big, huge, wild animal. And some of the people are afraid of him, and C.S. Lewis tells the children through sources that Aslan is not a tame lion, but he is good. God is not tame either. We can't take God and put him in a box, but God is good forever. A greatly reassuring concept that God's love endures forever. But what does forever mean? What does forever mean? Forever is a long time. But how long? And is forever longer for us than for God? We never really know what time it is to count on forever. Remember back in the late 60s, a group called Chicago? They did a song called, does anybody really know what time it is? It's kind of sarcastic and sarcastic that put down the elites of the day that were so concerned about what time it was. But if you're living in forever, what time is it? Well, forget about it. Think about what forever is to God. A man once approached God to try to understand God and God's perspective on humanity. And he went to God and just started talking to God and said, God, what's $1 million to you? And God says, well, it's like a penny. Man thought about that and said, God, what's a thousand years to you? And the man said, oh. Or the God said, well, it's like a second. So the man said, God, can I have $1 million? God said, sure, in a second. We bandy around words like forever and eternity frequently and interchangeably. And I like eternity as a better translation than forever. God's love endures for eternity. And I'll tell you, and that's also, it's a valid translation. Since I'm Presbyterian, I learned Hebrew as well as Greek. So I know it's a valid translation. I even looked it up yesterday to make sure. I like it better, and if I was translating that psalm, I would have said, eternity, not forever. And here's why. Well, let me give you another quote first. There's a guy named Jeff Wright, and he's an integrative philosopher. And I have no idea what that is. Anybody got a clue? I even looked it up online, and I couldn't find out what profession an integrative philosopher was. But he said, forever is a word with connotations of infinite time duration into the future, but doesn't imply anything about the past. Eternity refers to a condition that has been, always will be, and is. This might not seem like much of a difference, and it might not be for us, but it is for God. When we are born, we enter into a universe that's both spiritual and physical, and we're often unaware of the spiritual aspect of the universe because we're just blinders, you know, we don't see it. And sometimes we are just too reticent to see the spiritual side of our lives. But when we enter eternity, when we're born, or if you want to be like some people say, well, we don't enter eternity until we die. Either case, when we enter eternity, we don't enter at the beginning, because there isn't one, right? Eternity is that way. And we don't enter at the end because there ain't one. And we don't enter at the beginning because there ain't one. As it was in the beginning, is now, and never shall be. We just did that a bit ago. Gloria Patri, right? Except there's a falsity there. World without end. Because this world will end. This world is going to end someday. Might be 5 billion years from now, but this chunk of rock that we're living on, all the people that we know and the plants, it's all going to go bye-bye someday. But eternity is going to go on with God. This world had a beginning. It will not be eternal. But we will be. God's love has been enduring since before the Big Bang of the let there be light. Let there be light, the Big Bang, if you want to call that, the let there be light was not the beginning of eternity. Not the beginning of God's love. It was the beginning of the physicality of the universe and our reckoning of time. God's love doesn't endure forever. God's love endures eternally. Do you remember where Paul writes that neither depth nor heights nor principalities and powers can separate me from the love of God? He forgot something when he wrote that. He should have said, and time cannot separate me from the love of God, because God's love endures eternally, even before creation began. If you don't believe me, go back to something else Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 4, he says, God chose us before the foundations of the world. So even before God said, let there be light, God chose us. Before eternity, God's goodness was enduring. So what kind of God is this? A God who loves us enduringly, even before we're made. I'll tell you what kind of God this is. This is a God who wants his people to be pure and true. This is a God who wants people to remember. This is a God who wants his people to riches and wisdom and knowledge. This is a God who wants to transform evil back into the goodness from which it began. This is the God who wants to give you grace and the peace that passes understanding. This is the God who gives you the free gift of eternal, not forever, eternal life. This is the God who gives you the gift of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. What kind of God is this? The one true only God, El Shaddai, God Almighty, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Savior. The only God whose steadfast love endures from eternity to eternity. Take that and be comforted. Amen.